And in fact, bad timing happened at the time of Jesus's birth. And today I want for us to look at how bad timing turns into the glorious timing for Jesus's birth. First thing I want for us to consider here is bad timing equals God's timing when it's outside of your control. Bad timing is God's timing when it's outside of your control. For instance, once my wife and I, we were having a great time talking with friends. We're chatting and we're laughing and carrying on. And we realized we have to get to the airport to catch an airplane. And we realized we're already late. We get in our cars, we go to the highway, and there was a big traffic jam for some reason, and we missed our flight. I was like, oh, no. Now, fortunately, my wife turned on the crocodile tears. She turned on she cried, and the manager felt sorry for her and saved her several $100s. Praise God for that. But, you know, the bad time we experienced, that was our fault. So there's times in life when it's our fault and bad timing occurs, and that's not necessarily God's fault. But there's other times when bad timing occurs and it has nothing to do with you. For instance, being laid off at work. That's not your fault. Government cutbacks. We've all experienced that at one level or another. That's not your fault. I remember once we went to Disneyland and my kids got sick in Disneyland. That's terrible when that happens, right? I mean, the kids are so sick, they didn't even want to go to the park. That's how bad it was. Like, oh, what terrible timing. I mean, I understand that sometimes when you're sick, it might be your fault sometimes. I mean, if you were the day before going to Disneyland and you were at the petting zoo and your kids are having some type of like licking fight or something like that, that's your fault. But the vast majority of time, the sentence is, that's not your fault. That's just God's timing. It's what God's doing. And in the early times of Jesus, before he was born, we can see God's timing involved in this. We read this earlier, and it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken for the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. Now, could you imagine Mary at that time? She was 9 months pregnant. She's in northern Israel, has to go to southern Israel. That is a far distance. That's probably about more than 100 kilometers as a crow flies. And remember, the Jews back then, they did not pass through the center of Israel. They would circle around the center of Israel. And we're talking about a four or five day journey. Mary's 9 months pregnant. Maybe she had a cart that she sat on. Maybe she sat on the back of a donkey. I doubt she walked 5 days, 9 months pregnant. In any event, I think it's all safe to assume that Mary cried. That Mary cried. When women are that pregnant, they cry. They do. In fact, they cry when they're first pregnant too. My wife, I'm one of seven kids. My mom had five kids, and then she found out she's pregnant with twins. She cried. We all have those moments. In fact, I'm one of the twins. So good thing God comforted her and followed through with his planning for our family's lives. But when we're experiencing difficulties and bad timing, and it's not because of our own mistakes, that's God's timing. Number one, bad timing is God's timing. Number two is you're not alone. God is with you. The Christmas story continues, verses 4-7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now you can imagine Joseph is now going back to his hometown where he grew up. What are some people that we don't read about who Joseph would probably see going back to his hometown, right? Who was Joseph expecting to see when he went back to Bethlehem? All of his brothers and sisters, his aunts, uncles, cousins, his neighbors, people he grew up with, right? This was a hometown. He knew Bethlehem like the back of his hand. He grew up there. The town of Bethlehem was only about 2,000 to 3,000 people back then. He knew all the streets. So here he comes in with his 9-month pregnant wife. Nowhere to go. All alone. He goes, well, let's go to the inn. He goes to the inn. No room for them at the inn. You can imagine he felt pretty alone. Fortunately, he was not alone. God raised up some others to be with Joseph and Mary during this tremendous, amazing evening. And this, and we continue in our story, verses 8 through 15. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that is happening, which the Lord has told us about. Who did God pick? Who did God choose to be the first people to know about the birth of Jesus? God could have told the mayor or the dignitaries in the town of Bethlehem. He didn't choose that. God did eventually tell the royal court in Jerusalem about the birth of the Messiah, but that wasn't until at least a year later when the Magi came and spoke to the royal court and said, where is the Savior that was born? On the night that Jesus was born, God didn't choose just anybody. He chose somebody very special to his heart, and those are shepherds. And what do shepherds do? Shepherds watch sheep and goat. That's a miserable job. Shepherds would be sweating to death in the daytime and freezing to death at nighttime. They couldn't go to sleep at night because the predators in that area, that is bears, wolves, and lions, hunt at night. They got to be awake the whole night to watch their sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. That's why these shepherds were awake. And God chose the outcasts to first announce that Jesus was born. The Messiah was born. Joseph and Mary were not alone, because here the shepherds in verse 15 saying, let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing which had happened, which the Lord has told us about. When considering the Christmas story, understand that bad timing is God's timing. And you're not alone. God is with you. And the last thing I want for us to consider is ponder Jesus this Christmas. The story continues, verse 16 through 18. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning about what has been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Have you ever wondered, how do the shepherds find Jesus? Yeah, how do the shepherds find Jesus? It's like, you know, in the town of Bethlehem, the Savior's born. Go find him. We have to understand back then, houses did not have windows. Well, they had windows, but they had no glass. So people either had a curtain, or some families, they had like a window door that would close. But when sound happens, everybody knows about it. If there's a party down the street, the entire neighborhood knows about the party. And guess what women do when they give birth? Yeah, they make noise, don't they? They scream. I'm reminded of my wife when she gave birth to our three children. She screamed, and she was on drugs. Praise God for drugs. Any women here? Raise your hand. You had a natural birth, no use of drugs. Any women here? I mean, praise God for drugs. I mean, it was a very loud, you know, Christmas Eve there. A very loud Christmas Eve with the birth of Jesus. Everybody knew where the screaming woman was giving birth. The shepherds, all they did is walk into Bethlehem like, hey, where is the baby born? And they'll go, that way. It's over there. Surely someone in Bethlehem was saying, God, why do women always give birth at night? Why can't it be in the daytime? It always has to be at nighttime. They found Jesus quite easily. They just followed the pointing of everybody in Bethlehem. Oh, over there. Oh, over there. And what were the shepherds doing? They were telling everyone about what they just experienced, the supernatural visions they had of angels announcing the Messiah. Joseph and Mary, they were not alone. They were not alone. And the shepherds, they were incredibly excited. The story continues in verse 19 to 20. And it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Isn't that great? Imagine Mary, all the chaos that she experienced in the previous 5 days, starting from northern Israel on the back of a donkey or on the cart, bouncing up and down for 5 days, finally making it to Bethlehem. No room with family, no room at the inn. They go and she just gives birth in a barn. And you can imagine, do you know what else is in barns? I mean, besides the manure, we all know about the manure, but you know what else is in barns? Bugs. Like bugs. Yeah, I'm a guy and that makes me freak out. You can imagine a woman like giving birth? No. No, that's bad. And then you know, then she gives birth to Jesus, and then in comes these shepherds going, we have just heard the news. And she's like, and all of that. She just took the baby Jesus into her arms, and she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think this is what God wants to do this Christmas for us. It said, know that the Messiah was born and it was bad timing for him. And yet it was God's timing. Know that you're not alone. God is with you. And to ponder Jesus. I had these questions here and look at the last one there. Well, I'll read them all. Why did God send the Messiah as a baby? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. But that's a good question. I mean, God could have come down in like fully adult God form. He could have come down like an angel's, or he could have come down. He could come down like some like giant like Godzilla coming out of the ocean. But he chose a baby. He chose a baby for a reason. Number two, why did God allow the birth story to be so difficult? why did he allow the birth story to be so difficult? It could have been like easy. God is God. He could have made it very simple. But in his sovereign goodness, he chose the birth of the Messiah to be difficult, and that is for a reason. And the last question is, why is God allowing you to go through your difficulties today? Why is God allowing you to go through difficulties today? Parents, why are you going through difficulties right now? College students, why are you going through difficulties right now? And I think one of the reasons why you're going through such difficulties is because every God-ordained calling, every God-ordained dream will come through difficulty. And that's true throughout all the hundreds and hundreds of years of Christendom. If you're here and you're an adult, you know that to be true. You know that to be true. College students, it is designed this way by God. He is birthing something through you. Persevere in it and know that you're not alone. And ponder Jesus this Christmas. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I want to say thank you so much that you're a God who sees. You didn't abandon us, Lord. We're not alone. And Lord, thank you that you see us even in our struggles. You see us even in the midst of our sin. You see us in the midst of trying to figure out why this and why that. Lord, just please forgive us. Forgive us of our sin and come into our life and be the Lord of our lives. Be the God of our destiny. Be the captain of our future. And Lord, this Christmas, we honor you. We worship you. We adore you. And these things I pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.